chapter 11. I happen to be in Numbers in my Bible reading. In Numbers chapter 11 is where I'm at in my Bible reading. All right, Numbers chapter 11, start reading in verse 1. Numbers chapter 11, verse 1. Bible says, "And when the people complained, it displeased the Lord, and the Lord heard it. And his anger was kindled, and the fire of the Lord burnt among them, and consumed them that were in the uttermost parts of the camp. And the people cried unto Moses, and when Moses prayed unto the Lord, the fire was quenched. And he called the name of the place Taberah, because the fire of the Lord burnt among them." Let's bow our heads one more time. Brother Schultz, how about you pray for the message? Preach on Taberah for a few minutes this morning, and before I preach on this, this mainly is going to be for saved children of God, those of you that are saved, born again. This is what's going to apply to us mainly, but if you're here and you're not saved, you need to get saved, you need to trust the Lord Jesus Christ by faith, and you have to come as a sinner. The Bible says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." The Bible says, "There's not a just man upon earth that doeth good and sinneth not." You have to take your place with us sinners, and then understand that Jesus Christ died on the cross for your sins, paid for your sins, paid for my sins, paid for the sins of all mankind. He was buried. He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. And then you have to realize you cannot save yourself. It's not a good life that saves you. It's not that good people go to heaven and bad people go to hell. It's that saved people go to heaven and unsaved people go to hell. Now, how do you get saved? You have to realize you cannot save yourself. It's not by works of righteousness which we have done, but to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. You're saved by your faith, not by your works. You're saved by what you believe, not by what you do. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. He that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed is what's going to determine your destiny. Whether or not you go to heaven or hell is based on what you believe, not by what you do. It's not the church, it's not baptism, it's not the Ten Commandments. It's faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you can realize that you're a sinner, you call out and ask him to save you. The Bible says, "Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Call out as a sinner, trusting only the Lord Jesus Christ, his payment on Calvary, and then the Lord will save you. He said, "All that come to me I will in no wise cast out." But I want to talk to God's people today. Hopefully everybody here is saved. Most of you are saved today. This applies to us. This is God's people in the Old Testament. This is the punishment, the chastening of God. First of all, it's because it says in verse 1, the people complained. I would advise you, do not complain. Do not murmur. Don't gripe about situations. Be thankful. Be a thankful, saved people. And not griping and complaining. It says in the middle of the verse, and the Lord heard it, and his anger was kindled. No doubt God gets angry when we complain about things, when we have it so good in this country. And we have so many freedoms and so many liberties and so many luxuries and so many pleasures and so many things that God has bestowed upon us. And then we're going to find room to complain. God's going to find room to get angry with us. And it says, the fire of the Lord burnt among them. So God starts burning some folks here. But then notice it says, and consumed them that were in the uttermost parts of the camp. It doesn't say that the fire consumed all of them. It says it consumed the ones that were in the uttermost part of the camp, although the fire burned among all of them. Now, to me, that seems kind of strange. Why would the ones only in the uttermost parts be consumed? Why would not more people be consumed? Why is it with just the ones on the fringe, on the perimeter of the camp? Picture the camp of Israel in your mind. Most of you understand from Sunday school. You had the tabernacle. That was in the center of the camp. You had three tribes on the north and three tribes on the south and three tribes on the west and three tribes on the east. And so the tabernacle was in the center, and these tribes are they're camped all around the tabernacle. But it says the fire burnt among them, but consumed the ones that when the uttermost part was the ones on the perimeter that got burned. Now, I don't understand exactly all that means, but I know this. I know the practical application for us is that the closer you are to the center of God's will and God's presence, the less of a punishment you're going to get than other Christians. Those that are on the fringe and on the outskirts are just 1 foot in and 1 foot out of Christianity. I'm talking about saved people now. They're the ones that experience the most trouble in their lives. They're the ones that have trouble all the time with finances and family and health. I mean, continual trouble, 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 bubble, bubble, and more trouble because they're not in the center of God's will. They're not doing right. You say, does God show favoritism? He shows favoritism towards those that are trying to do right. Just like when you have youngins in a family, the ones that are trying to obey mom and dad and trying to do right, they're always going to make out better than the ones that are snotty-nosed and rebellious against mommy and daddy. You're always going to make out better if you work in a company, if you're a faithful employee and you put extra time and effort into your job. You're always going to make out better than those employees that are just trying to do the bare minimum so they don't get fired. It's always going to have the way it is in God's family. If you want the blessings of God and you want to not experience the chastening of God on a regular basis, get just as close to the center of God's will as you possibly can get. The ones in the center of the camp aren't the ones that got consumed. They all got burned. They all complained. They all sinned. But the ones on the outskirts were the ones that got consumed. And that's just a practical principle of life. All right, now the ones in the center, they weren't sinless, but they were safer. They weren't sinless, but they were safer. The ones that are in the center of God's will, we're not sinners. There's not a just man upon earth that doeth good and sinneth not. We're all sinners. But if you're in the center of God's will and trying, it's going to be a lot safer. It's going to go a lot better with you than the ones on the outskirts. It's a clear biblical principle. I've been in the ministry now for 23 years almost, come up here in a couple of months, 30 years in good churches, and I've seen this thing over and over and over and over again. Christians that are trying to do right and trying to be faithful to the house of God and trying to read their Bibles and trying to pray and trying to give and trying to do what God tells them to do, they always make out better than these backslidden Christians that are just running wild out there. They always make out better. Now, we're not sinless, and we experience the chastening of God on a regular basis, but not like the ones on the outskirts, not like the ones on the lunatic fringe out there on the fringe of the camp. You're always better. You're always safer, even though we're not sinless. And I'm not condoning sin, but listen, it's a good motivator. Listen, we're going to sin, you're going to get in trouble with the Lord. It's always better to have less of a spanking. You know, a child would always rather be spanked by mama than by daddy. As when the Lord deals with you and you're trying to do right, it's always going to turn out better. Special blessings, special protections to those that are trying to serve God. Now you got Christians that are not in the center of God's will. They're not in church. Whatever they're doing today, they're not in church, they're not doing anything. But then you also have Christians that are in church, but they're still not. I'm going to try to motivate you, try to beseech you, try to encourage you to get as close to the center of God's will this morning as I possibly can. Best thing to do is just sell out to God 100%. But until you can do that, try to get as close to the center of God's will as possible. Try to spend time in your Bible. Try to be faithful to the house of God. Try to spend time in prayer. Try to give sacrificially. Try to witness. Try to be the best Christian you can. You compare different ones in the Bible, different believers in the Bible. You think about David and Saul. Both of them were Israelites. Both of them were kings. Saul murdered a bunch of folks. Well, David was a murderer too. You know, you never read about Saul committing adultery, but David did. You never read about either of them getting involved in false idol worship. None of them worshiped false idols. As a matter of fact, Saul ran all the unclean spirits and all the familiar spirits and all the witches out of the land. He wasn't an idolater. But look how they turned out. You had one person who was David, who even though he sinned and sinned grievously, he confessed his sin. Part of being in the center of God's will is confess your sins when you mess up. David confessed his sin, forsook his sin, and God's mercy was on him. Did he still reap for his problems? Yes, he still reaped for his sin, but not like Saul. I mean, Saul, you never find Saul confessing one time that he'd done wrong, and then he dies an early death and a violent death, as if the shield of Saul was not anointed by oil, it says. So you compare those two there. What you want to do is you want to, listen, if you're trying to live for God, when you mess up, you're going to find out God has a lot more mercy on you. And that's what you're going to need, because we're all going to mess up sooner or later. You know, the whole nation of Israel was taken into captivity. You know, Ezra and Nehemiah and all those, they were taken into captivity by Nebuchadnezzar. And they're taken over there to Babylon. But the ones that were trying to do right and trying to have a heart for God, Ezra, Nehemiah, Daniel, those, they all made out better than the ones that were just taken into captivity and just didn't even care. I mean, first of all, they survived, and some of them got to come back to the land. You're always going to make out better. You know what Daniel says when he prays over there? He says, "We have sinned." He includes himself. He says, I'm just as big a sinner as anybody else, but he's confessing the sin. And when he says, "We have sinned," and he includes himself, he's not doing that to be pious. He understands he's a sinner. We need to realize that we are sinners. And the mess that our country's in, no doubt, is the problem with Christians not living right in the years gone by, and preachers not preaching right in years gone by. We're all sinners. This country and the mess it's in is the result of all of us, see? But listen, if you want to get close to the center of God, you want God's mercy, we need to confess that it's our fault and try to do what we can right now as Christians and try to do better. And don't think that, well, no, it's not my fault. Yeah, it's all of our fault. We're all guilty. None of us read our Bible like we should. None of us give like we should. None of us witness like we should. We're not faithful like we should. We don't confess our sins like we should. Not to get saved or stay saved, but because we're saved. Special blessings, protections. The Bible says over in John chapter 15, the Bible says, Jesus Christ said, "I am the true vine. My Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away." That's a picture of a saved child of God, part of the body of Christ. "Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away." It's always going to do better for you if you're trying to bear some fruit and trying to live for God. Otherwise, you get taken away. He says over there in Corinthians, he says, "Many among you," Christians, Corinthians, "many among you are weak and sickly, and some sleep." God takes some Christians home early because they're not doing right. You'll always do better to do right as a Christian than to do wrong. There's a such thing as a spiritual Christian. There's a such thing as a carnal Christian. And the ones that are carnal, pictured by these fellows here, they're on the uttermost part of the camp out there. They don't want to get too close to what's going on. They don't want to get too close to the tabernacle and everything, and I'll show you why here in a minute. And they're the ones that get consumed. And I see Christians all around us being consumed all the time, consumed by the world, the flesh, and the devil. Because they're not trying to do right. They're not trying to stay in the center of God's will. Listen to a couple of verses. The Bible says, "God preserveth the faithful." He preserveth the faithful. There's preservation. "The eyes of the Lord are upon them that fear him, that hope in his mercy." You fear God today? You're always going to do better if you have fear of God. Fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Depart from evil is understanding. And it's always places safety is more. You're safer there in the center of God's will than you are out of the will of God. Let's talk about it. Why? Why are these ones on the outskirts? Why are they on the fringe? Well, I don't know. The uttermost part of the camp, they were assigned different places. But it didn't say that they had to be on the very outside of the perimeter. I mean, wherever the three tribes were on the north and south and east and west, they still could have worked their way up a little closer to the tabernacle. That's where the presence of God was. That's where the action was where the tabernacle was. And in the center of God's will, that's where the action is, that's where the activity is. Some Christians don't want to get too close to that. They don't want to get so close to what's going on, you know. Why? First of all, less accountability. Less accountability. Listen, if you sell out to live for God, you're going to be watched by a hawk 24/7. It's going to be the fishbowl syndrome. Everybody's going to watch you. Listen, if you profess to be a Christian, "I'm going to live for God," people are going to watch you. Man, they're going to watch everything you do and everything you say, and they're going to be real gnat straining about you. A lot of Christians don't want that. They don't want folks looking at them too close. There's going to be more accountability. The closer you get to the tabernacle, that's where the action was. The closer you get to the center of God's will, that's when there's going to be some action. And some Christians, they don't want to be looked at that close. I remember I told you this before. When I was up north, I tried to be faithful to the church up there when I finally got in church. And I can tell you, maybe, I don't know, I didn't miss that many services. But when I missed, I always had some of my friends would call me up and ask me where I was at. I remember one winter day, it was really cold. I mean, like the wind chill was like 20 below. The wind chill in Chicago is supposed to be 30 below this coming up here next couple of days. Thank God you're in the south. And it was like 20 below wind chill, and I thought, man, I had just gotten in the church. I thought, I don't know if I want to take a chance on driving in this stuff. And so I laid out of church that Sunday morning just because of the weather. And as soon as church was over, one of my friends said, "Where were you at?" I said, "Well, I just wasn't sure if my car would." And he said, "I would have come pick you up. Man, I felt like a dog. Man, I didn't miss any church after that because of weather. That was the only wake-up call I needed, not to miss church because of weather. But you're going to be accountable. Listen, when you sell out to start living for God, you get close to the center of God's will, you're going to be more accountability. Number two, less service was required. You know what the tabernacle was? That's where the sacrifices were going. That's where the Levites were operating. That's where everything was going on. You know, some of those Israelites, they might have thought, well, you know, I'm going to get too close here. I might have to do some work, you know. I don't want to get in the center of God's will because God might ask me to do something, you know. God might ask me to do something at the church, you know, or do some work around the church, or God forbid, the Lord might call me to be a missionary to Alaska or something, you know. If I get too close to the center of God's will, the Lord might want me to do something for him. Yeah, he will. He will, but that's why some Christians don't want to get too close to the center of God's will. You know, I just don't want to do anything like that full time for the Lord. Well, that's where you're going to be the happiest, and that's where you're going to definitely be the safest, according to this story right here. And what you want to do is you want to be in the center of God's will. These Israelites, if they got close to the tabernacle, they probably would have gave them something to do. You think about all the sacrifices that they continually had to make here. They obviously needed some help with all that stuff. All them animals coming in and out of there and all them dead bodies and all those carcasses of those animals. It probably would have been nice if they had some help. There would have been some activity. There would have been some work. And so, well, if I surrender to live for God and I get in the center of God's will, Lord's going to have something for you to do. He's going to give you something to do that you can do. He knows all of our talents and all of our abilities and all the things we can do, and God's going to give you something to do. He's not going to ask you to do something you can't do. It's going to be something for you to do. There's going to be some service required in the tabernacle. I'll tell you another reason why they didn't get too close to that tabernacle is because there are some restrictions. Now, you think about 2 million people out there in the desert with that tabernacle. And all these tents lined up on the north, south, east, and west. And there probably wasn't a real lot of property space there. You know, there was probably enough room for your tent, and that was about it. There wasn't a lot of room, so it was probably pretty restricted. These ones on the outskirts, they probably thought, well, you know, we don't have to be so jammed and crammed in there. We can kind of move our tent stakes out a little bit. We have a little bit more freedom, less restriction. Well, in the center of God's will, there's going to be more restrictions. When you decide to sell out for God, God's going to expect you to dress differently than everybody else and talk differently than everybody else and act differently than everybody else. Yeah, there's more restrictions in the center of God's will, but those restrictions are good for you. They're not bad for you. They keep you out of trouble, and they keep everybody away from you that doesn't want to love for God, doesn't want to love God and serve God. There's liberty in restriction if they're the right restrictions. It's best to know what the boundaries are. Listen, these missionaries and these evangelists and people come in here, they have a higher standard than just the normal run-of-the-mill Christian, if there's such a thing. Listen, they dress differently, they talk differently, they conduct themselves in a different way. And that's what, listen, if you get in the center of God's will, the Lord's going to expect you to change some things in your life. He's going to want you to start dressing modestly, not immodestly. He's going to want you to get rid of the stuff you're listening to and watching on that TV and internet and Facebook and stuff that doesn't have any business in the life of a Christian. You've got to get rid of that stuff. There's more restrictions in the center of God's will, but they're better restrictions. They're better for you spiritually. They're better for you morally, and it's safer when you're in the center of God's will. When you sin, the mess-ups, the chastening won't be as bad. There's more restrictions. There's no question about that. That's a higher standard required that God requires. But it's standards that are going to help you, not hurt you. They'll help you, and they'll help others around you. You know, maybe the reason why all of them complained was because they were so jammed and crammed in there. You ever think about that? There's Christians, listen, there's Christians in the center of God's will, and things God doesn't just give you everything and anything you want. And there's a tendency sometimes to murmur and complain everything. Listen, when that happens, which I'm not advising it, the correction and the chastening is going to be a lot less than the ones that just living out there on their own. Conduct, actions, behavior, testimony, appearance, that has to change. Why else were those folks living on the outskirts there? Well, it's because they are more of an independent spirit, see? That's what you have today in Christianity. We call it the loose cannons. And, you know, I can serve God. I don't have to be in church to serve God. Yeah, you can serve God. But your service isn't going to be as good as if it would be in the local church. Listen, the Apostle Paul didn't travel around Asia Minor and Asia planting churches just for his health. It was God's will to set up a thing called a local church where we would have some accountability with each other. We'd have some correct Bible doctrine, give accountability to this book, and we'd have a place to serve and do service according to the will of God. That's God's purpose and plan as the local church. It's not just off there doing, well, I could serve God someplace else. Yeah, you can serve God, but it's not going to be as blessed. It's an independent spirit. Listen, you ever realize that Christianity is a team effort? It's a team thing, see? It's a team sport where we all work together, see? You're going to get more accomplished when we work together as a team. Now, you're going to have plenty of times where God will expect you to do something, and you can shine with your independence and your intelligence, and you can do things on your own, but as long as you're doing them through the local church, God's blessing is going to be upon it. Listen, you go to any company, it's going to have to be a team effort to work for that company. There's certain rules you're going to have to go by. You're going to have to get along with folks, and there's a team effort. There's a team effort on any sport. Anytime there's any kind of sporting events and there's these teams, guys just don't go out there and do whatever they want. They have to have a strategy, have to get together, make sure they work as a team. That's the way the church is. That's the way Christianity is. That's the way the body of Christ is. It's a team effort. You'll have plenty of time to shine on your own. Listen, we don't serve God our way. We serve God his way. I don't just decide, well, here's what I'm going to do to serve God. No, I submit myself, present my body, living sacrifice, say, Lord, how do you want me to serve you? That's the way salvation is. Well, I'm going to be saved. I'm just going to get saved any way I want. No, you got to get saved the Bible way. You got to come to Jesus Christ as a sinner and trust him as your Savior. And if you're going to serve God, you need to serve God the Bible way. And the Bible way, whether you like it or not, is a local church. That's God's plan and program and blessing for the church age. That's why it's called the church age. A local churches. You have to serve God through the local church if you want to be blessed and if you want to be a part of the team. And loose cannons get captured sooner or later. Christianity is a team deal. Why else did they not, when I mentioned this, kind of touched on it, why else were they in the outskirts? Well, it was less interaction with people. One's on the outskirts of the camp out there, and there was less people they had to deal with. They didn't have to worry about anybody behind them. It was just wilderness and desert behind them. The only people they had to do was put on a front for the folks right around them there. Less interaction with people. Now, I understand some of that. The people that hurt you the most are the people you're going to hang with. The people going to hurt you most in a local church are people in local church. But see, it's true outside. The people going to hurt you most are the people that you hang out with on the outside of the church. Those are the ones that you hang with. I was talking to a guy. Who was I talking to? Oh, no, I was listening to that testimony of that guy that started the RU thing, the Reformers Unanimous. And this guy was saved, as far as I can tell, saved, just backslidden on God and involved in all kinds of drugs and alcohol and all kinds of stuff and everything, and he got in a car accident and ended up in the hospital. He said, you know how many people came to visit me from my old buddies? He said, not one of them. Not one of my friends came to visit me in that hospital when I was all busted up and laid up and in a cast and everything. He said, the only person who came to visit me was an old Sunday school teacher of mine. And she said, you need to rededicate your life, get back in church. And he got back in church, and they started Reformers Unanimous. Listen, you're gonna get hurt by some folks. Some folks are going to insult you in the church. There's going to be folks that are going to, you know, the devil's got tares in the church, and the devil's got backslidden Christians, and he's got a hold of them and everything. There's going to be people that will hurt you in the church. They'll talk behind your back, and they'll do things that are not good. And I can understand somewhat why some folks don't want to be part of a local church. But God doesn't want you being isolated. He still wants you to be a part of a church. He still wants you to get along with folks and strive to get along with folks. We need to learn to get along with folks. You need to put some effort into trying to have some unity and be a one accord, one of mind in the local church. Less interaction with folks. Now, I know there's folks that are not in church because, well, I got hurt in the church. Well, okay, but you've been to a restaurant and had a bad meal. You didn't stop going to restaurants. You keep going, and you've probably even been back to the restaurant where you had a bad meal before. But people, something happens in a local church, they bail out, you never see them again. We need to put some effort into this thing. Less interaction, but God wants you to be, he wants you to be a part of what's going on. All right, number three. Somebody had to be in the uttermost part. I mean, all these tents are lined up all around the tabernacle, somebody had to be on the outskirts out there, didn't they? Well, I suppose they did. I suppose there were some tents that, you know, there was just no other place to put them. Although they could have tried to worm their way in a little closer. But that's not the way it is with Christianity. You don't have to be on the outside of God's will. You can just get as close to God's will and the center of God's will as possible. There's nobody crowding you out in Christianity. There's no reason why every single Christian in this building today can't be totally sold out to live for God 100%. No reason at all. Nothing's preventing it. God's not preventing it. God's trying to encourage you through this message to do it. And I'm trying to encourage you by showing you that on the outskirts, that's where the most trouble is going to be in your Christian life. That's where you're going to have the most problems, the most chastening, and because we're all sinners. And what you want to do is you want to get the, listen, these folks, they may have thought they were safer on the outskirts, but it turned out they weren't. They were the ones that got consumed. Their supposed safety to them was a higher priority, and it didn't turn out that way at all. It's not safety in numbers, it's safety in the center. Not safety in numbers, it's safety in the center of God's will. What you need to realize is that's the truth. All right, so let me give a couple illustrations here. Anytime a storm comes in, a hurricane or anything, or tornado or stuff like that, you got a forest out there, the trees on the outside perimeter, they're going to take the brunt of the storm. The trees in the center, they don't take as much wind and rain and everything else. In a general principle, is the trees on the outside of a forest are going to take more brunt. When the World War II was going on in the Pacific Theater, there was a ship that was on a secret mission. I think it was the Indianapolis, the USS Indianapolis. You can correct me after the service if I'm wrong. And that ship was on a secret mission, and it got torpedoed by a Japanese sub. And that ship went down. There were a number of guys on that ship, of course, that died. Most of the fellows on the ship got off of the ship before it went down, and they were in the water. But because it was a secret mission, they didn't even know the ship was missing for 2 days. There were guys out there floating out there in the Pacific for 2 days before they even knew they were gone. And there was enough injuries out there that there was blood in the water. And when there's blood in the water, there's sharks. And that current took off down there, and those sharks started coming. You know where the sharks attacked first? They attacked the ones on the perimeter out there. The ones that were the safest were the ones that got all close to the center. They all tried to get as close as they could to the center. That's where the safety was. And them sharks started tearing up the ones on the outside of that thing. And it was a horrible thing. I mean, there were guys, finally when a ship came to get them out of the water, the worst thing was a guy that had to wait in line to get out of the water. He didn't know if a shark was going to get him just before he climbed up the rope there. Terrible, terrible thing happened. And I've seen it, I saw it happen down at the church at Wing. Brother Schultz was down there. Had a couple people down there. Had a fellow was in the church, and he was sold out and dedicated to the church down there and living for God, and he messed up. He messed up pretty bad. Pretty bad sin, and he paid for it. He had some pretty bad chastening come into his life. But there was another lady that was kind of in and out of the church, and she wasn't really sold out, and she was only there sometimes, and lots of times she wasn't there, and she didn't try to get her family in the church or anything like that, and she messed up too. But I'll tell you what, the punishment on her was a lot worse than this fellow that was in the church. The guy that was trying to serve God and doing right, the punishment and the chastening fell on him, and he was able to recover, and he's serving God to this day. But this one lady that was in and out, when she messed up and the chastening came, and she ended up in a horrible car wreck, and she broke her neck. And the last time I saw her was about maybe 10 years ago. Saw her in a store with her mother, and she could barely move. She was like in a cast and everything. She's just in the store, and I don't even think she's probably alive today. She was so messed up. You know what that is? It's the difference from somebody that's trying to live for God and trying to do right that sins and experiences the chastening, and someone that's not trying to live for God and sins, and the chastening is a lot worse. And that's the principle there. Ones in the uttermost part were consumed, even though they all complained, even though they all got burned. And we're all going to mess up. And what you want to do is you want to get as close to the center of God's will as possible. And that's what I'm trying to encourage you to do. That is Tabera. That's Tabera. Let's all stand. And Miss Lynn's going to play a little something on the piano. Let's just bow our heads, close our eyes. For just a few minutes before we're dismissed, heads bowed and eyes closed. And if you're here today and you're not saved, you talk about being burned. You're going to end up in a place where you're going to burn for all eternity. You're going to end up in hell. So you need to accept the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. If you're here and you're not saved, no reason why you can't get saved today. Jesus died for you, was buried, rose again the third day. You know you're a sinner. You know you're a sinner. You know perfectly well you're a sinner. You don't have to be convinced of that. Maybe you didn't understand that he died for all your sins, but he did. That's what the Bible says. That's what we go by. Maybe you didn't understand that it's not your works. Maybe you thought, well, I have to be a good person to be saved. If you could earn it, why did he die? Wouldn't it be any purpose for Jesus dying on the cross if you could earn your salvation? He's the one that paid for your sins. You don't pay for them yourself. You can't earn salvation by church membership or keeping the commandments or being good or anything else. Or baptism. Those things don't save you. If you're here right now and you know you're a sinner and you understand that Jesus died on the cross for your sins, was buried and rose again, and that you can't save yourself, then why don't, just in your heart right now, why don't you just call out and ask God to save you? Just ask the Lord Jesus to be your Savior. Lord, I know I'm a sinner. I believe what that preacher said. I can't save myself. I believe what your Bible says, that you died on the cross for my sins. I don't want to go to hell and burn. So right now, Lord, I'm asking you, believing on you, trusting you to save my soul. Ask the Lord to save you. He'll save your soul. If you're here today and you're saved already, I would admonish you and encourage you to get just as close to the center of God's will as you possibly can. It's a lot safer. It's a lot safer. And that's a personal motive. Obviously, God wants you there. That's the best place to be for you and your family and all your loved ones. But it's going to be a lot safer when the chastenings come. David found out it was best to be plugged into God and confess his sin and forsake his sin and experience the forgiveness of God, even though he still had to pay and reap in the flesh. I've seen Christians that have messed up. You and I have messed up. You know God has been a lot merciful to you because you're trying to live for him. Now, I'm not condoning sin. I'm just saying that the best thing to do is get in the center of God's will. Maybe you're here and you're saved today and you've never sold out to Jesus Christ. Maybe as a Christian, listen, your surrender is not your salvation. It's two different things. Maybe you just need to sell out to God today and say, Lord, you saved me. You've been so good to me. The remainder of my life, I'm going to sell out. I'm going to live for you the best I can. I present my body, living sacrifice. Turn my life over to you, Lord. Whatever you want me to do, wherever you want me to go, whatever you want me to be, I'm going to turn my life over to you. Understand that's not salvation. Salvation's a gift. But if you've been saved, the Lord wants you to surrender your life to live for him. And amongst a thousand other things, it's going to be a lot safer. It's a lot safer in the center of God's will. The mercies of God are greater. The blessings of God are greater. The protection of God is greater. The supply of God is greater. And the chastenings are a lot less severe. A lot less severe. Brother Dial, would you close in prayer for me?